Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Hi, Katarina, how are you?
Hi, Amanda, I'm great, and thanks so much for giving me the chance to be here with you today.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I'm really excited to talk to you about birth stories. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. And before we get into the topic, would you please share a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah, sure. I was born in 88, and I have three living kids and an angel child. The first one was born in 2014 and the last one in December 2018. So she's 3.5 now. And we're living, everyone else in the world would probably say we live in Berlin. Berliners would say we live out of Berlin. So it's actually just in the outskirts. Officially, it's not a part of Berlin. Anyway, we live in Germany. I'm German. And yeah, we're five people plus a cat, and I have started to write about giving birth and birth stories in 2018, when I did not yet know that I was pregnant again, but well, obviously my mind was somehow again set on the topic, and since then I've been writing.
Wow. That is so neat. I love writing. I love birth stories. And in our conversation today, we're going to be getting into the topic of birth stories and how every birth story is valid. It doesn't matter what your details are, what your memory is of it, what your feelings about your birth story is. All of it is totally valid and fine and welcome. And to start our conversation, I would love to hear about a little more about what drove you to start writing about this and really what your goal is in sharing birth stories through writing.
Yeah. I started writing because I needed a place for my own thoughts. And I first wrote like emails to friends who asked me whether they would be allowed to forward them to others. And that was kind of the starting point, so that I thought, okay, maybe it's worth to share them not only with friends but simply online, so that whoever wants to read them can read them, and that it's obviously no problem to forward whatever I wrote. And my thoughts were centered around why we make it sometimes so hard for women to give birth the way they want to, at least in Germany. I never felt really at home in hospitals. It's a long story about my grandparents, and yeah, even, you know, only the smell makes me nervous. So for me, I was quite relieved actually when I found out that it was possible in Germany to give birth at home. And then I noticed that it's not that usual, which means you have to put a lot of effort into it, both financially, but also in terms of organization. And so I started thinking why that is, and why we have systems in place that seem to support other entities than the family first. And one aspect that I then noticed is that we don't really give each other enough space to talk about our experiences. And how can we aim at a cultural change, at a legal change, when we are not even willing to share our own stories and to emphasize what happened to us in a good and in a bad way? So that is why I started to collect birth stories. Of course, I published the stories of my own children's births, but also I started to collect stories from friends, from people who found my blog on the internet and told me that, hey, can I publish my story too? And I was like, yes, of course, that's the point of the whole thing. So the number of stories grew. And at some point, people started, or women started writing me emails. I would so much like to have my story written down, but I don't find the words. How do you do that? How can you find the words for something that is so complicated to describe? And also, some women told me that the story they experienced is not the story that they have been told by their doctors or midwives. So their own perception of the story is a totally different thing than what everyone else has told them that it was. And of course, when you hear, or when you read what a professional wrote down, there must be a reason that they wrote it that way. So why shouldn't you believe it? And still there's this conflict inside of you that you don't agree to what they wrote. And that was the starting point when I decided that, hey, that's not fair. Every woman should be able to write their birth story. And every woman should have this sacred space where they can share their story in the way they experienced it, and not in a way that someone else or some medical data tells them that it actually was, because it wasn't.
Right. Wow. So what I'm curious, what is your process when someone says, I really want to share my birth story, but I can't find the words for it?
Yeah. What we do is we talk quite much like we do now, without a script. Simply, I record the whole story, and we really take a lot of time. If the mother wants to, I can send her a list with questions beforehand to get her mind moving, but some also really don't want that. So what we do is I ask some opening questions, and then she talks. And most mothers tell me, when I tell them, okay, plan about 90 minutes, that they wouldn't need that much time. And honestly, we always need them. We always need every single minute. Because as soon as you get your mind moving, and as soon as you actually notice that there's someone who wants to hear all the details, and who doesn't have another appointment, and who really doesn't want to talk about some other topic now, or about their own experiences, but who really only focuses on that story that is being told now, the memories come up again. So there is women that talk very openly without me asking, and there is women which try to stay on the surface. Both is okay. Both are valid, and both have their reasons. And normally it's really like 90% of the time the woman talks and 10% I ask, because that's all I need. And then afterwards I listen to that story again and I write it down. And people have been asking me why I don't use artificial intelligence to just have the transcript written. The answer is as simple as complicated, because it's, of course, there's good artificial intelligence that can get the words, but they don't get the feeling. They don't hear whether the voice was shaking. They don't see the smile that she had when she talked about that. So when I listen, I don't just type every word, you know, but I transform those bits and pieces into a first draft of the story. And of course, no woman talks or tells her story from the beginning to the end. But we all, you know, context switch. And that's fine. And for oral conversation, that's even more fine. But of course, when you want to have the story written, you want to have it written in a way that is logical in itself. So what I do is I rearrange the bits and pieces. I add the unspoken emotions that I heard during the talk. And when I have this kind of first draft, I normally have many, many, many questions. Because then I only notice that there's pieces missing. One woman told me her story, and then I noticed, hey, your water never broke. How is that possible? So I get back to the women I work with and tell, hey, there's a few things missing. There's a few things unclear. Can we clear up on that? Sometimes we do that by email. Sometimes we do that by voice messages, because, you know, you have the baby in one hand and you're trying to have the soup on the stove on the other hand, and then you're still trying to write an email. That's not very normal. So what we do is, if it's just about little details like the name of a grandparent or whatever, it's a lot easier to just drop me a voicemail. If it's bigger questions, we get back to second round of Zoom or whatever conference tool. And after that, we iterate. I mean, sometimes there's more questions coming up due to the answers I got. And at some point I have a story, which is most of the times between 20 and 30 pages long. Something that most people would have never thought of. And I send it. And I tell them, take your time reading, sit down, do it with your partner, have a cup of tea or coffee with it, and enjoy the ride. Let the tears flow, because of course it's an emotional story, no matter whether it went like you wanted to or not. And then after a few days, you can write me back whether there's anything you want me to change or not. And if the text is fine, then like it is, then we go, like, I can add pictures and I'll do the formatting, and so that in the end, they have a little booklet that I'll send to them, because I hate the idea of the story being on the hard drive, never opened, just with millions of other files that we collect in the time of our lives. So I design a booklet, I print it, or I have it printed by a professional, that you can put right next to your newborn photo on your shelf, so that it's actually, that it does have a space, because what it is it deserves space. Of course, there is no, if birth goes like this, your baby's life will be like that. That's something I always have to emphasize. There is no automatic follow-up through to birth. But still, it changes us as mothers, and it influences how we go through postpartum. And so it's not fair to ignore what we go through when we give birth, and it's not fair to hide it afterwards.
Yeah, I love that so much. So many things, and the keepsake of the birth story that's printed and just like a photo album that you
it is. Yeah, except for that, maybe sometimes a photo does not say more than words.
Right. Exactly.
Because of course, on the photo, the baby looks cute. The baby looks like washed and rosy, and the baby does not look like, hey, this was a hell of a ride for 12 hours or whatever. And that's okay. But also that process is valid to be talked about.
That is so true. And I'm also curious, do you write it, like what person do you write it in? Like first person, third person?
Whatever the woman wants to. There's one lady, and I've asked her that I'm allowed to tell her story. She's a Latin teacher here in Germany, and I have written the stories of all her four babies. And she wanted them all in third person and in present tense. So I did that. Most stories, though, I write as a letter from the mom to the baby. Or actually from mom now to mom in 10 years or whatever. Like, this is how I feel now, and I wish that we'll learn this and that from it. Yeah, but most stories are as letters to the baby, even though some of them tell me that they are not sure whether the baby will ever get it. Even though, of course, not as a baby, but, you know, also as an older child, they're not sure yet whether they'll get it. But anyhow, they feel that it is necessary for them to feel fine with whatever happened, that they wrote it down to the baby once, and that they explained why they took certain actions, why they didn't take certain actions. And what my goal is to show the hero's journey that going through birth is for mom and for the baby, and that it's that it changes us in ways that we can't know, but we need to acknowledge them to be able to cope with whatever comes next.
So I'm curious about a couple of things. The first is, are you familiar with Birthing from Within?
Yes.
And Pam England?
Yes.
Who wrote the book? Yeah.
Yes.
As soon as you said the hero's journey, I immediately was like...
Yes.
Have you gone through any Birthing from Within courses or any work with them?
I haven't, because I have chosen German birth prep courses, and the German course system is a little different in that sense that most women go for the midwife birth courses that are actually covered by our insurance. It is. On the other hand, it also means that those courses are focused on certain aspects of giving birth, while others are quite left out.
Well, I also... when I asked the question, I was actually curious if, because Birthing from Within, you can take, you know, a birth class as an expecting parent, but then you can actually also get certified like I did, or take birth professional related classes with Birthing from Within. So that's actually what I was curious about, if you took any like professional related courses, because the entire... structure for starting that process of like birth work from the perspective of Birthing from Within is literally taught in the framework of the hero's journey. And part of the content that we go through is, it's called Birth as a Heroic Journey. And they talk about the framework and Joseph Campbell and the work that he did. To give a shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which happens to be another podcast for new parents. And I'm going to play the trailer real quick, and I highly recommend this show.
We're born into our names, but we become family by heart. I'm Dustin Gruss, public speaker and family transition coach. When my wife and I found out in the beginning of 2016 that we weren't going to be able to have our own biological children, just 7 months into our marriage, we were shook. Little did we know what lied ahead through our journey of infertility, foster care, and where we are now, having recently adopted our two beautiful boys. What we do know is every little bit of help we got along the way was priceless. And that's what we can expect with this podcast. stories of inspiration and resources to lead you through that journey. From the heartbreak of infertility to the hope and blessings that come with foster care and adoption. We may have different stories, backgrounds, and names, but we're all family here. This is Family by Heart.
And to anybody that's not familiar with the hero's journey, it's basically what every Disney or Pixar movie is based off of. And it takes you through an entire framework, and you'll notice it everywhere. Star Wars, A Bug's Life. I mean, pretty much every single movie you can think of where it's the hero. The movie Frozen 2, it is literally like called out the actual framework where you have a hero, they hear a call to bring them into the unknown. They are called into the unknown. They don't want to go. They push back. Then they have a reason they must go into the unknown, leave what they're familiar with and that they love. They go into the unknown. They meet multiple challenges that they have to face and get past. And then they go into like the dark night of the soul kind of a moment, like they meet their biggest challenge. They do the one forbidden thing that they were never supposed to do. And then they, along the way, they usually meet a guide. Donald Miller talks about this in StoryBrand and his newest book as well. They meet a guide that helps them, kind of, Yoda. And they help them get through their challenges, their biggest challenge, and then they come out the other side along with helpers. And then they kind of integrate at the end back into the world that they knew before, but they're changed. And that is the hero's journey in a nutshell, just to give an overview. And we look at birth completely through that framework. And we look at the birthing person and the person that has been called to do this big thing and all of the different gates that they go through to, come up against this challenge, and the helpers, the people that come alongside them, the guides, and that can look like many different things. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. The other reason why I'm glad you brought this up is because the whole time you were talking, when you're talking about birth stories, I also think of the current work that Pam England does now. So she originally wrote Birthing from Within, and that has turned into a framework for birth classes. But she also, right now, what she focuses on is birth story medicine. And she talks about how you can heal from any trauma, challenge you went through in giving birth, and you can heal by understanding your birth story. And she has a framework for that. She has people that are trained in this and that can help you with that. And I'll link to that in the show notes of this. But what she talks about in that particular framework are the birth story gates. So as someone who gives birth, you're going to walk through several gates in which the way that you remember your birth story, the way in which you look at your birth story, will evolve over time, most likely. And these gates are not linear. You can kind of go back and forth. You may not arrive at all of them, but some of them, for example, like the first one is the gate of no story. You are just existing. You don't have a narrative to put around what you just went through because you are still in it. You are a brand new mom with a baby, and you just are like in bliss with your baby, or maybe you're in shock for what you went through to get there. I mean, like we started with the beginning of this episode, all things are valid. No matter how you feel, it's valid. It's okay. So you start out with no story. You kind of process it. One of the gates, like you mentioned, is the gate of understanding like the medicalized side of things, kind of curious about what happened. Wait, like what actually happened? And you might even go back and ask for the medical records to see like what really did happen. Because I have a memory of it, but parts of it are fuzzy, or like I'm confused, or I'm not understanding, or I'm not accepting. Whatever it is, wherever you're at, you might even go back and ask. And the way that it's written in a medicalized way is just one version of what happened with very specific medicalized language. And that is not at all going to touch on the feelings that the person giving birth was experiencing, or anybody else that was there too. And so I obviously I'm really biased with Birthing from Within, having been certified myself, but like that's the reason why I love this. And I talk about it all the time because I'm like, holy crap, like that was totally me. And I even was able to like process my first birth story when I was pregnant with my second baby and preparing to give birth to him. I mean, it's just such an amazing process. And I think that it is undervalued for sure in the culture and society I live in. People that don't know, they do not know. They like don't even come close to knowing or understanding. And then those that go through it, that walk through those gates, if you walk through those gates, you might not be able to put words to it, either your story or what all of these layers are. And I'm so glad that there's people like PM England that kind of put words to the framework even. And I'm glad there's people like you who offer the chance for someone to process the birth story and then even put it into words as well. And one thing that comes up for me a lot when I think about birth stories is it is something that pretty much all moms want to talk about. Like if you bring up your birth story, like that is a huge conversation starter. So I'm curious, and I want to ask you, why do you think it is that moms or people that have given birth are so fascinated with birth stories and want to talk about it so much?
Because I think that unconsciously, they know that they are the hero of the story. And even if they tell a story of all the things that went badly, they still unconsciously know that it's a story full of love to their child and full of compassion. And of course, come on, we all want to talk about stories where we are the hero, right? I mean, the point is just, what I often see is that we start to compare, so that we don't give each other enough room and space and time to talk and to try to understand and to value those experiences without comparing them. I mean, from the medical point of view, I can understand that comparison is an important issue. To find out whether something is like medically normal or not. But for us as women who have all been through that in one way or another, we should listen more and accept that my story doesn't make me a hero more than your story makes you a hero, but that we both had the story that we needed. I mean, if you had sent Elsa into a desert, you know, that wouldn't have been her story, her hero's journey. So, and that's the same with us giving birth. So I think that unconsciously women know that it's an important thing to talk about and that we should be talking about it and that we should give each other room to talk about it. But then we're so used to keeping things short and to the point and towards a result that we don't value the journey as much as we should. And that is what we experience also when we talk about giving birth. Whenever I try to talk about my birth experiences in a setting that is not especially made for this, I think the longest I've been talking about it is like 10 minutes maybe, because afterwards people want to change the topic either to something they feel more comfortable with because they notice that a hero's journey does include fallbacks and does include problems, and or they want to rather tell their own story and not listen to mine, or both.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad I asked because I love your perspective. And that is absolutely in line with what I've experienced as well, especially what you just said about if it's not a setting where it's like purposefully, intentionally laid out, like this is what we're going to do right now. That happens. People that don't know because they just don't know.
That's not their fault, but they just don't know. They don't get it. They will shut it down because that's a lot. Or they immediately get uncomfortable. Or someone that is maybe like hungry for this immediately wants to start sharing their own because maybe they've never had the opportunity to share. My thought on why people who have given birth love sharing their birth stories and love talking about it is because, and I cannot think of a better analogy for it. I should maybe challenge and spend time to think about it. But for right now, this is what the analogy I have, is that birth is like, it is the most common miracle in the world, in my opinion. It is a miracle every time. A lot of people do it, but it is a miracle. It does not like water down the miracle of giving birth. There are so many components that have to go perfectly right for a person to be gestated and born and brought earthside. I mean, there are just like, when you really stop and think about it, no one can deny that it's a miracle. This is my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Thank you. And my analogy is, if you go through something like that crazy, that big, here's my analogy. If you were to get into a plane crash and you survived a plane crash, and then you were going through life afterwards and you met another person who also survived a plane crash, you'd be like, what? Immediately stop. We need to talk about this. You went through that too? Oh, what was it like for you? This is what it was like for me. It's that camaraderie of like, you get it. Like, nobody really gets it. And like, that was some crazy stuff. Like, that was insane. And it was so much. And I'm on the other side of it. And I can remember that. Like, that to me is how big giving birth is. And I think I should think of another analogy, because like, a plane crash is really dramatic and horrible and like really bad. But like, that's the only thing I can think of at this point, of you would stop and you would want to connect with someone who also went through that.
Yes. And it's totally normal that it will be part of the conversation to compare what you've been through. What I have in mind is, maybe there's two people who actually flew to the moon. So, you know, it's as rare in a way. So they, of course, they would want to share, and of course they would like to compare whatever happens to them. But on the other hand, I feel that this camaraderie is undermined sometimes by the urge, not only about giving birth, but generally in motherhood, to have everything right and to not have any flaws in whatever you do. You have to be the perfect mother, and many women have this feeling that they need to get birth just right, because otherwise they'll complicate the life of their babies forever and ever, and that this makes it hard to feel compassion for someone who maybe had a, in quotes, nicer experience. You know, when you have the feeling that you have not given your baby the best start into the life, and you hear someone else talking about this, and they have given birth in a what they see as better way, that might feel very, very hard on them. And it's, first of all, it's of course not true, you know. And very seldomly the way we give birth has such a direct influence on the rest of a child's life. But also, we want to talk about it, but we have lost, at least what I feel like, our society has lost the value of talking without comparing and of not putting everything into numbers. And I try to do that in the stories I do. If I have a mom that wants me to write more than one story, I might compare between first and second time if she tells a story like that, because then it's obviously important to her. But if she doesn't by herself compare the births of her multiple children, I will not start asking for it. Because, of course, one birth story is based on your experiences before. But still, every child is so individual, and you can't really know what happened due to the experiences and what happened without any effect of those former experiences. So I will try not to compare, because it doesn't help.
Yeah. First of all, I want to adopt your analogy. I like it better of going to the moon rather than the plane crash, because I think that resonates
as well. You'll have to change it, because by then so many people will have been to the moon.
That's true. That is very true. So the other thing that I just love that you have touched on multiple times in our conversation is the idea of compassion, yeah. Particularly self-compassion.
Yeah.
That, I think, is the key from what I've learned in giving birth, in processing my own birth stories, in becoming a birth worker, in holding space for other people that I've worked with that are pregnant or have just given birth. I think compassion is the key. I think it is the key to moving through all of those different gates of your birth story and coming out to the other side of like complete acceptance, not being stuck in one particular area or judging or comparing or think or getting stuck with what you talked about of like, this is how I started my parenting journey or how I started my parenting journey with this particular child and it went away that I'm not okay with. And now that is like the launching pad for the rest of their life and my you know, parenting journey, my parenting story, I mean, my parenting story for how I showed up for them.
Yeah.
And having compassion for yourself, first and foremost, and your birth story of, okay, this happened and this was already set in motion and then this happened and I made this choice and, you know, needed help in this or I felt this way. Like, all of that makes sense given the larger context of everything else. So like, yeah, I can just hold space for that for myself and accept it and just kind of be with it. Like that changes so many things, and it changes the comparison discussion that you were having, the idea of comparing. Because then if you hear someone else that, like you said, had maybe had a quote-unquote nicer experience, you aren't immediately pinged by the trigger of your own story and what you tell yourself about it. Yeah. You just might instead be like curious of like, that was not like my experience at all. I wonder what was that like for you, or what did you think, or what did you feel? And just, you know, be able to hold a little more space for someone and what they experienced.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. And just imagine how beautiful this world was if we were able to hold this space for each other, and if we showed this compassion to each other and also to the personal, to the medical personal that we have been with in the journey. Because one thing that is often forgotten is that they also need more than a report with numbers and medical language, which just says baby alive and 2 stitches, and that was it. Because they also, I mean, they, for them, it's a miracle as well. And it's a miracle every time. And they need a space too where they can safely share, and where they can be happy, and where they can be angry when something went wrong that they feel they should have done differently, or where they can be just amazed by this, yeah, by this wonder. And so this is something that is important for me, that is forgotten oftentimes, because sometimes women come to me and they want to they want to get away from the story that their midwife told them, to find their own voice and their own words. And I get that. But sometimes I wish that I was able to also talk with the midwife, and have compassion for her, you know, and understand why she, and like not understand with my heart, but understand, no, not understand with my head, but with my heart, why she decided the things that she did in a way. And this is something that for now is not part of my work, unfortunately. But maybe it's also better that way, that people go to a professional then, like to a psychologist. I'm not sure. But anyways, I would want a society to be more focused on allowing the process instead of just having the result. And I so often I hear people say, yeah, but baby's alive, what do you want more? And
a lot more.
Yes. Yes, of course, I'm so freaking happy for my baby when it's alive. But I also want to be respected for what I've been through. And this is... I've had hard conversations with people telling me, it's the only thing that matters is that mom and baby are alive. And I really don't think that's the only thing that matters.
I agree with you. I don't think it's the only thing that matters. And I think that a lot of times people get stuck in a binary, a black and white, of it's either bad or it's good.
Yeah.
And my new, like, lot on life, my new lease on life is both and. I can hold two things in both of my hands that might seem contradictory or mutually exclusive, and they're not. Wow. Like, on one hand, I can be so grateful that – it, you know, after I gave birth, I had a healthy baby. Like, I can be so grateful. And then the other hand, I can hold a lot of hard feelings and a lot of, like, trauma or feelings or experiences or really difficult memories to look back on. And I can hold both of them. I don't have to drop one to hold the other. And so I think in our society, like, if we can just be able to hold both and say, I'm so glad that your baby is healthy, and also holding space for everything else you're processing.
Yeah, that's so true. And the way you say it makes me emotional, even though it's what I talk about almost every day.
Well, I talk about this stuff almost every day too, and I often get emotional, and I think that's just part of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it is. It really is. And in a way, it would. It was. I mean, as you said, it's a wonder, and there's no wonder that we wouldn't get emotional about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have really, really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the work that you do this in the world, because it's very needed. And my hope for this episode is that when it goes live in the world, that it finds the right person that they say, I need this. I want this. And so if that does happen, how can that person get in touch with you?
I do have a blog, which is almost exclusively in German. There's some birth stories in English out there on the blog, but most is in German. But what I do have is a small little homepage, which is the literal translation of birth story into German. It's called Geburtsgeschichte, and I'll be happy to try to give you the address so you can put it in the show notes, because I think it's very it's a very German word. And there's a small little English button on the top. If you click that, you'll find the offer in English, because most of my work has been in German so far, so there's no blog in English. But you'll find it if you press the EN button.
Well, I will absolutely include that in the show notes. And a fun fact and a shout out that I would love to make right now, because it's so apropos to what we're talking about, is when I look at the analytics for this show, the surprise to me of the world is that behind the United States, the second country that listens to this podcast the most is Germany.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, it surprises me because I speak English and I it's not like I like promote this specifically, yeah. But so my point in saying that is A, like shout out to everyone in Germany who listens to the show. I love you and appreciate you so much. Yeah. And the other thing is there is a blog that I'm linking to in the show notes of this episode that you can access in your mother tongue.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for taking the time to talk to me. And I've loved our episode.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much and stay safe, healthy, and connected.